Did you know that more than 113,000 children are waiting to be adopted from foster care? Ellie was one of them. When she was placed in foster care at 16 after experiencing significant abuse, she felt unlovable. Thankfully, Ellie was adopted with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption. Today, she's planning on college and has a bright future. But more than 20,000 teens age out of care every year. You can help. Visit DaveThomasFoundation.org/learn more.
In order to support our show, we need the help of some great advertisers. And we want to make sure those advertisers are ones you'll actually want to hear about. But we need to learn a little bit more about you to make that possible. So would you please do me a favor? Can you go to podsurvey.com/Jamie? That's J-A-M-I-E, podsurvey.com/Jamie, and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better. That way, we can bring on advertisers you won't want to skip. Once you've completed the quick survey, you can enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. You guys, you can buy a lot of great things on Amazon for $100. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/Jamie, J-A-M-I-E. Guys, thanks for your help. Go to podsurvey.com/Jamie.
Hey, friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm so glad you're here. Each week on this show, I invite a friend to join me, and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between. Hey, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey. We are counting down the days until our 10th birthday, and we are so excited to celebrate with you. These last couple Fridays, we have been reminiscing on the very first season of The Happy Hour. And if you have not had the chance to listen to those episodes, I highly encourage you to go back and listen. We have Amy Gayhart, one of Jamie's closest friends, who was actually on the very first episode ever. And last week, we had the very first conversation with Annie F. Downs. So if you haven't listened to those, go back, check them out. But today, we have a very special episode. It's a conversation between Jamie Ivey and Winter Pitts. Winter Pitts is an author of several books, including Your God's Girl, and she's the founder of For Girls Like You Ministry, a magazine that was created to equip young girls to walk boldly in who God created them to be. In 2018, Winter Pitts went home to be with the Lord suddenly. Her death impacted all of us greatly, but not as much as her legacy continues to impact mothers and daughters and girls for generations. For Girls Like You has been carried on by her daughters and her husband, and we are so incredibly thankful for the vision that God gave her all of those years ago and how it's still impacting young girls. So with that, I hope that you enjoy this episode with Winter Pitts. Winter and I met when we both went to Uganda a couple weeks ago with Still Hope. And I have talked about that 100 times on this podcast before, but you were actually the first person I met.
Oh yeah. Cause we met in the airport.
We met in the airport and we had a burger at a burger place before we met Carrie. And it was just you and I.
We did. And we had gluten-free french fries.
I will never forget that. You just laughed so hard at me because I asked for a gluten-free bun. And then I ordered french fries and the lady's like, you know that they have gluten in them. I'm like, oh yeah, I don't mean gluten-free. I just like gluten-free bread. You probably thought she is so weird.
No, I thought it was great. I was like, perfect.
I really do like gluten-free bread. It's weird.
I'm going to try it. I still haven't tried it, but I'm going to.
But I also like gluten-filled french fries.
Yeah.
A lot.
Less gluten is better than more gluten, right?
It has to be, right? Oh my gosh. Okay. So yeah, Winter and I met on our way to Uganda. And on that, did you know anyone on that trip? I can't remember.
No, yeah. I did not.
Okay. Yeah. Me neither. I don't think hardly anybody knew anybody.
No, I think Logan was our connector and then she wasn't there.
Yeah. And I had several people ask me like, are you nervous about not knowing anyone? And I was like, heck yeah, I'm nervous. Like, that is like my most uncomfortable situation in the entire world, to be in a foreign country with 9 people I don't know. That honestly sounds like my worst nightmare.
Yeah, I agree. And it's funny how God did that, because if Logan would have invited me and told me she wasn't going,
you wouldn't have gone.
I probably would not have gone. Yeah. But because of the way it happened, I was already, you know, invested and felt a part of the team. And yeah. So it just was, but yeah, so.
But we had a great team because everyone got along so wonderfully. And it was actually a very, very wonderful experience.
It was. And they, I mean, it really, it was my first missions trip or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I think it was the best group of people. I mean, we were just all kind of great together.
I know.
It really was.
Which is good because we spent a lot of time together.
Yeah.
A lot.
That could have gone very bad.
It could have gone bad very quickly. I remember the first couple of nights. Did you stay up late the first couple of nights?
I did.
I went to bed.
You always went to bed.
Which is weird, but I think I was just like so tired and a little just like my brain hurt and emotionally, physically, everything kind of drained. I remember feeling like an old woman because I'm like, I used to stay up and party all night. And now I'm the one that's like, bye, y'all. I'm going to bed.
I know. I remember I was kind of jealous that you could do that because I didn't have that type of discipline. I knew I needed to sleep, but like if everybody was up,
you have
the
FOMO.
The kid in me exactly. Yeah. Like, wouldn't want to be left out of anything.
Fear of missing out was overwhelming for you.
I couldn't handle it. So I just was exhausted and slept for 2 weeks after I got home.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Jet lag from that trip.
Gosh.
I thought I was going to die.
Yeah, it was miserable. Awful. It was as enjoyable as the trip was, the 2 weeks were equally
awful.
Miserable.
So I got home a day later than you. I didn't get home until Monday because Carrie and I stayed over in Atlanta. And so I got home Monday. I felt great. Mm-hmm. Tuesday, I felt great. Aaron and I even went on a date that night. And he's like, I can't believe you're not tired. I'm like, I know. Everyone else is complaining. I don't know what's wrong with them. I'm perfectly fine. Wednesday around like 11:30 in the morning, I literally felt like a truck ran over me.
Yeah.
And I was down for like 3 or 4 days after that.
Yeah, it was. And I was glad though, because I really thought, and of course my husband thought that I was just making it up a little bit or just kind of being like, I'm still just jet lag. I'm tired. Yeah. But he's like, you've been home for 7 days. Like, you need to, what are you talking about? But then when we were kind of talking to each other, it was comforting to realize that everybody was still, I was like, see, I was showing him my text, like, it's real.
Yes. Everybody is dying.
Yes.
Even Gary was our photographer on our trip and he's traveled to like 885 countries or something. He said it was the worst he'd ever felt.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know. Crazy, crazy. And then I had to speak at a retreat that weekend and I promise you, went through the first session. I messed up my words like 500 times and I just kept going, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm so tired. Like, I feel like my brain and my tongue could not work well together. It was like I couldn't even make sentences. It was pretty sad.
I'm sure it was wonderful.
Oh. Okay, so if people have listened to this podcast for a while, they've heard Asher on here because I had her on, I guess it posted the week before we left to go to Soul Hope in Uganda. How would you sum up your time at Soul Hope?
Oh.
That's kind of a broad statement, but I mean.
Yeah.
What was like, maybe I should ask you this. What was your favorite thing that we did? Like the outreach or the,
Okay. I don't know if it was my favorite, like memory, my favorite night was the night that the children's choir was there, the Awaken.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know if you've talked about Emma before on here, but
So tell us.
Okay. Emma's a little guy that we met in Uganda and you probably have to help me with some of the details, but his arm was probably bigger than it was bigger than his body.
Yeah.
One arm.
Yeah.
Was just very large and it was like a weight on him. Like he had to, he's walking to the side and they didn't know yet what was wrong with him. And
he wasn't born that way, just so everyone is clear. It was, it's like his arm had swollen up. I mean, I want to say like 10 times his normal
arm. I was going to say, even if you say swollen, it really, it's
and
not.
That doesn't even, I'll put a picture up when we talk about this of him, but go ahead.
And so it was really hard to see him and hard to watch. And it had already just kind of been hard to watch everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that night, a choir from an orphanage, Arise Talents came. And it was kind of our party night. Remember, like they were dancing and music and stuff. Well, at the end of that, when we gathered in the outreach house and started praying, But the kids from the orphanage were in the middle leading the prayer. Mm-hmm. That it was just beautiful because they were in the middle leading the prayer over Emma. And I mean, this little girl, I think she was probably about 11, you know, and she was crying out to God on behalf of this little boy more than it just was overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It was overwhelming. And then the circle just kept going out. And so she was in the middle praying for him. Then all of her, you know, friends or people, you know, the kids were surrounding her and they were all crying. And then there was the team with us, you know, and then there were the people that were living at the outreach house. And it was just a moment of, I came home and I just remember feeling like that was heavenly to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was just all different denominations, all different races. And praying, crying out to God over for somebody else. I mean, it was just, that to me just summed up the trip. It was just, you know what? God is real. Like, no matter where you live or what your circumstances are. And it made me really think about how often my tears, and I cry out like that to God, but it's on my behalf. Mm. Mm-hmm. But to see an 11-year-old crying like, you know, praying like that, and a group of kids praying like that over somebody else, you know, when they definitely had their own share of things that they could have been praying about. Anyway, that was my favorite memory, kind of some summary of the trip, was just that moment.
That was a great night. I just got chills when you were talking about that again. Just remember being in that room. And I think it was even more special because it was the kids were actually leading it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I kept thinking to myself, if my kids were here, they'd be like, are we done yet?
Yeah.
Where's my idea? I mean, they had so much maturity to them about faith. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, is they just seemed well beyond their years in believing and trusting that God could heal him.
Yeah.
It was so good.
It was good.
It was so wonderful.
If you don't know it, guys, I'm a Texas girl through and through. I've lived here most of my life. I was born here and I love traveling. Here's why I love traveling throughout Texas, because it has a vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activities, which means there's an infinite number of different travel experiences. And no two travelers are exactly alike, and it means that no two trips should be either. If you're a beach person, well, you can have fun under the sun with Texas's 350 miles of coastline. If you're more of a rugged vacation type, there are campgrounds, hiking trails, and state parks galore. And foodies cannot get enough of Texas's world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex. Enjoy live music, visit internationally recognized art museums, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually led trip matched to their unique interests. Guys, come visit my state. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours. That's traveltexas.com/get-your-own. You guys, in January of 2024, I made a commitment to myself. I wanted to get stronger, which meant I needed to get in the gym, which means I needed to move my body in different ways. You guys know I love to walk. Well, it's spring, and spring is the best time for us to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, to tap into your power, and build towards your summer you. I love my Peloton. It accommodates to my schedule with a variety of class links to choose from. I can choose a 30-minute class. I can choose a 45-minute class. If you only have 5 minutes, there's literally a class to get you moving your body in 5 minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and every mood. There are classes if you want to hear country music, if you want to hear rock, if you want to go back to the 80s. If you can't run, take a walking class. Need some grounding? Try yoga. If you want to level up, go for their Pilates or HIIT workouts. Here's what I love, is that you can move at your own pace. And that is what I'm learning that my body needs right now. It needs to move at its own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take all the guesswork out of working out. You guys, we think about so many things during the day. Let's take the guesswork out. Let's jump right in and let's keep our fitness journey fresh every single day. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. I personally love a good 45-minute hip-hop class. It gets me moving. It gets me excited. It's my favorite genre of music. Just ask my kids. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. That's onepeloton.com.
Okay, Winter, thank you, first of all, for the magazine that you sent Story.
Oh, yay. I'm so glad she got it.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I remember when I met you, one of the coolest things about you is that you just started the magazine for little girls. Probably out of necessity because you have four girls and you thought, hey, you know, kids love to get mail, all kinds of stuff in here. But I got one for Story and she loves it.
That's so nice to hear. I love that.
She loves it. It is so like kid friendly. And it has stuff written from girls, like young girls, not just you or adults. Crafts, just everything that a little girl would love. And so way to go. This is awesome.
Yay, thank you.
When did you start doing this?
I started doing it about 4 years ago. And it's funny because I did start it out of a necessity just for my, for the girls here in my house, but I didn't really start it to plan on giving it to anybody else.
So you really just like created something for your daughters?
Yeah. Like I don't know much about design. I mean, I've always done nonprofit marketing stuff. So, you know, you kind of get, I had my feet wet in a little bit of it, but I downloaded like a trial thing of some design program. And I was just desperate to get my, you know, 6-year-old at the time, she may have been about 7.
Yeah.
But I was just desperate to give her something that was for her and that, you know, didn't have all this advertisement trying to get her to want a bunch of other things and messages and boyfriends. And, you know, I just wanted something and I couldn't find it. And I was just like, you know what? Let me just throw this. Let me not throw it because it took a long time. But I was like, let me put this together for her. And it was just one of those things that as I was doing it, you know, my husband was looking at me like, you know, it's 3 a.m. Like, when are you going to bed?
You're like, I have to get this done for the girls.
Right. I'm doing this for the girls. And yeah, just slowly we were kind of like, you know what? Maybe this is something that like other girls might enjoy.
Yeah.
So,
and as a mom to a girl, you're right. Everything that I feel like that is geared towards young girls has such messages that I do not want my young girl having.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Media that's thrown at them.
You know what? And I will say, because it's not necessarily, because there are some good Christian resources, but for that age, like that 7, 8, 9-year-old, there really wasn't much. And so even the Christian resources are for girls that are a bit older.
Yeah.
So it's not like that's wrong or bad stuff. I just wasn't ready for her to have it yet.
Yeah. It's just different topics and probably, you know, age appropriate stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how often do you put these magazines out?
It's quarterly.
Okay.
So, four times a year and we just mail them out. And it's true too. I was so excited. They come in like the clear envelope. I think I sent you was in a different one.
It
but
was, yeah.
They normally come in an envelope where the girls can see the cover. And it just is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So we, you know, just thinking, my girls are excited when they get anything in the mail.
Oh, and yes. So I'm excited when I get stuff in the mail.
Yeah, that's true.
If it's not a bill.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's fun to do. And now watching, I started it when my 11-year-old was so much younger. And so now she's kind of, you know, she's 11 now, and so she still enjoys it, but mostly she's helping me, like,
what's your oldest name?
Alina.
So she has, like, she wrote something in this one.
Yeah, she's been doing that more and more, and that's fun, and she likes it. Like, she's like, Mommy, can I, you know, I'm not like, Nina, can you please give me something for next? She's like, oh, Mommy, I wrote this. Do you think you can use it in the magazine? You know, so it's fun.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Now, did I see somewhere that one of your daughters is in a movie?
You did.
Oh, tell me.
Alina is in a movie. It's if you're familiar with any of the Kendrick Brothers movies, they've done Courageous and Fireproof and a couple of other ones. They have a new one coming out in theaters August 28th. And Alina has a leading role. She plays the daughter of the family in it. So, yeah, she's
like something she's been wanting to do. How did this happen? How did a daughter end up in a movie as like a leading role?
Yes, it is. It is a complete God thing. She has never done anything like it. I mean, she's never, of course, you know, all little girls want to be in a movie or most anyway. But I had a friend of mine, well, the lady that plays Priscilla Shire plays the mom in the movie. Okay. And she was auditioning for the role and knew that her role was going to have a daughter. And uh-huh. she just called me and just said, do you think Alina would be interested in auditioning for it? She's like, I haven't gotten it yet. I'm auditioning, but you know, I know that there's a little girl and maybe Alina could do it. And we were kind of like, okay, but really, you know, like she's not going to get a role in a movie, but right. we did a little video, sent it. And, the casting directors replied and just said, you know what, can we see a little bit more? And we did another little piece that they asked us.
Like,
and they,
what do you even do? Like, you record her doing what?
They sent us a little script.
Okay.
So a very small portion of the movie, you know, a couple of lines, they sent it to us and asked me just to record her saying those lines. So once she kind of got a first, like, it was good, can we see her do this? We were like, this could really happen. Uh-huh. But then it was like a month and we didn't hear anything. And so we were like, I guess it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the end of May last year, we got a phone call and they're like, we've auditioned. They did their live auditions and, you know, they really went through a real process and were like, we want Alina to play the little girl. Can she be here in 4 days?
Be where? So
in Charlotte. We're in Dallas and uh-huh. they were filming in Charlotte. So they were asking me to pack up for the entire summer.
I did not know this.
And moved to Charlotte basically for 2 months with Alina to be in a movie. And it was, it worked. And the only way it worked was because God did it. Because I have three other daughters and a husband and we live in Dallas.
Yeah.
And
it was like, who did you take with you?
I took Alina to start. Jonathan, my husband, stayed back with the girls. They came for halfway through and stayed for about 3 weeks. And then it's all complicated because, you know, my family's in Baltimore. So they came to Charlotte for a couple of weeks, stayed with us. We all stayed as a family. Jonathan was there, got to go on set, got to have fun. And then the three little ones went to Baltimore to be with my family. And Jonathan came back to go to work in Dallas.
Okay.
And then I stayed the rest of the summer with Alina.
Okay. Now, I mean, like, this is like a movie set. Did you like go every day and sit in one of those chairs that we see on TV?
I did. I was in like a casting chair, like the big high chair.
And what'd you do?
I had little headphones on and I could listen and be a part. But it's funny because really I couldn't do much because she was my daughter, but on set, they were, you know, just in charge of her. And so I just had to watch. And it was actually pretty fascinating to watch her operate like with that much maturity or responsibility without me.
Yeah.
So I was really proud of her and pleased. I cried a lot. And then, you know, I got to hang out.
Happy, like,
I was just proud of her. Yeah. It was just, I was proud of her. So, cause the days are very, very long and she, had to learn how to like jump rope. She had a jump rope coach. And so she would be on set all day. And as a mom, I'm kind of like, my baby needs to go to bed.
Right.
And then they would ask her to go and practice with the jump rope coach. So she would be sore and tired and I'm kind of, you know, trying to baby her. And she's just like, mom, it's okay. Like, I got it, you know? And it was just like, okay, I guess.
So she took it very seriously. I mean, this was like a thing for her.
Yeah, she did. And now it's opened a whole new world.
I was going to say, well, did she get paid? I mean, that sounds like a dumb question, but.
Yeah, she did. She got paid. She really has no idea. I mean,
yeah.
What, you know, she did get paid and we put it aside for school, but it's just funny hearing her talk because she really has no idea what she
was. So is this something she'd want to do again?
Yes, she does. So we are, so it's just,
are you moving forward with that?
You know, we're not chasing it,
mm-hmm.
but the movie comes out in August. They've already started doing some pre-screenings and things. And so we're just kind of like, okay, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I don't know if, you know, I just can't with the other girls and life, I can't chase it. Like, we can't fly around doing auditions and doing all this. But, you know, God, we didn't chase that and God quickly opened the door. So we're just like, okay. She enjoyed it. I say it as her mom, but now that other people have seen it, they've all said she was pretty good at it. So I'm kind of like, no, I think she could do this. So I don't know. We'll see.
Does it seem crazy? Like, did you ever, when you look at your life, that you spent 2 months last summer, like on a film, on a set, and your daughter's in a movie, does that seem crazy?
It seems very crazy. And it seems so silly because I don't get starstruck, but I've watched all the Kendrick Brothers movies. Like, and so now when I get a text from one of the Kendricks, it's like, oh, wait,
Right.
Kendrick just texted me. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, what is my life? Of course, he's only asking something about Alina, but it's still.
But you're still, it's like something that you have looked up to and enjoyed. And all of a sudden you're like, wait, I just stepped into this world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, that is so fun. Are any of your other girls like, ooh, I want to do this?
Oh my goodness. Yes. Just imagine 4 girls.
Oh my gosh. No.
Yes. Yeah. And the 8-year-old is Miss Personality. And uh-huh. So she is literally like, when is it going to be my time? Like,
oh my gosh.
When is it my turn? So, you know, we're working through all that. And she did a little fashion show. Any opportunity that I can try to find, I've been trying to do that. So Caitlin was in a fashion show on Saturday. So that'll get us through for a little while.
Man, bless you with 4 girls. I have some girlfriends that have, I have a girlfriend that has 2 girls and she's having a boy and she's not happy about it. She wanted all girls.
Yeah.
And I have another girlfriend that's pregnant and she with her 3rd and they're not finding out. And she's just praying that it's a girl. Cause she wants all girls. And literally I have 1 and I'm like, these girls are so much work. Oh my gosh.
They are a lot of work, but you know what? I get it though, because the twins, we thought one of them, not we thought, but you know, early sonograms, they thought one was a boy and they asked us, they didn't want to tell us, but we were like, tell us anyway. And they said, you know, we think we see a boy. And then, you know, the next month they were like, it's a girl, you know, it's a girl. And we were, you know, we wanted a boy because, you know, we were like, okay, twins, like, what are the chances?
Right.
But now I'm like, oh, I'm so grateful that it's all girls because It's what we know.
It's what you do. I know.
Yeah. It's just what we know. And honest, I think you should try have another girl because
you're so
then no. They just have each other to go against and you can just come in and be, they just love on you.
Story does ask because she feels, I mean, 3 brothers. She's the lone man out around here. And also she's the youngest. And so I feel like no matter what you are, 4th kid is just, it's a hard place to be in a big family, you know?
Yeah.
She is always asking for a sister. And I'm like, I'm sorry, baby.
Jamie, I think this is a sign.
We are done around here. I did have a dream the other night. This is like a weird, you know how dreams are weird? Like they don't make sense. So I had a dream that I walked into this bathroom and this is so freaking weird, but I found this baby in the sink underwater, but it had something over its mouth. So it wasn't drowning. So it was okay. And I found this baby and we adopted it.
Uh-oh.
I asked Aaron the next day, I was like, what do you think it means? He said, it means nothing. It's stupid. Like, why are you reading into a dream? But I thought that's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
I don't know. And now we're having this conversation. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know.
We are full around here. 4 is a good number.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, 4 is a good number. Everybody has a partner on the roller coaster.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's a good way to look at it. I know. 4 is good.
Yeah.
Mm. Did you ever think about 5?
No,
we had twins. I mean,
yeah, I was going to say we had 2 and we were very loosely thinking about 3. And then look what happened.
And there comes 4.
Yeah. So no, we do think about adopting. We have, you know, that is something that we, feel, you know, we feel called to and that we'll eventually do that. But as far as me having
no more babies coming out of you.
Yes, we're done.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. I hear you. I only had 1 come out of me and you know, that was it.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question for you.
Yep.
We've talked about this before, but I want to talk about this with everyone else. You have this book that came out. It's called For Girls Like You and it's a devotional for tweens.
Yes.
What does tween mean?
You like know, it's,
7
it's,
to, or what is it?
It's technically the book says 8 to 11.
8 to 11. Okay.
We may say 8 to 12 actually, but somewhere in there. But yeah. I really think it's maturity level.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that if you have, I tell people it's an immature, not in a bad way, but kids are just really, there's just a wide variety of like 11-year-olds these days or 12-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I feel like if you have a 12-year-old that's on the more immature side, or a 7-year-old that's on the more mature side, you know, they're kind of
in between there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, the term is, you know, getting younger and younger, but I really think the age is just kind of not, it's really the maturity level and what they can.
Yeah. And I would say that my daughter's story is almost 7.5. And I would say spiritually, she's pretty immature, you know, kind of looking at that. And so I've got this book, your book, For Girls Like You. It's a devotional. And we've been reading through it at night. And I would say that we could we're going to definitely be able to go through this book like three times, because I feel like she's a little spiritually immature, you know, like it's just things aren't really clicking and stuff and everything. But I really love what you did here, Winter. I love this book.
Oh, thank you. I wish you could see me, but like,
oh no, I really do. I love it because as a mom to a daughter, it's tackling really, really like it opens up conversation, you know? So even when we close the book at night and after we say the prayer, it just opens up conversation between a mom and a daughter. That sometimes it's not difficult, but sometimes you just need a little opening. Yeah. A little opening to talk about something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you decided to write a book, did you always want to do a devotional?
No, I did not. I actually, you know, I was already doing the magazine and just that wasn't, I didn't really decide to do that. That just was going. And so when I started talking with Harvest House, who's a publisher for it, about a book, my immediate thought was just a book for girls. Like it was just a book. And they actually had the idea for devotional. And, you know, as I started doing it, I was like, this actually makes so much sense, because as I was doing it, it was that, like, I literally was writing that. I would have conversations with my girls or hear them going through something or talking about something. And from that, I would be like, you know what? I would basically write off of a conversation we just had.
Yeah.
And so even now, like, we use it as a family. I'm like, you're saying, like, my twins, they try, you know, they'll read it. But I'm like, no, we're going to go back over this when y'all are, you know, a little bit older. So they enjoy it, but they'll get it more later. But either way, we use it and it does. We just keep talking.
Yeah.
It's just,
so it basically was just conversations that you were already having that you wrote down for us.
Yeah, basically. Mm, I figured if I'm having them, certainly.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So. Are you working on anything new?
I am.
What are you working on?
Probably more another devotional.
Okay, good.
That's kind of a brand new. We just started talking.
Is this a new thing since I saw you?
Yeah. So, but yeah, because it doesn't get old. And this one, I think we'll do more of a theme. The one that is out is, it covers everything. Mm-hmm. And this one, we're still working through it, but it will be a little bit different, but it'll be devotional style and kind of interactive for girls to, you know, chat and write down and
That's really cool. You know what? I just thought about this, and this is completely just came into my head. I have a girlfriend here who her daughters have created this little like girls club type thing. Oh. And they meet every Friday or something at her house after school, and they do crafts. They do all kinds of stuff. Isn't that cool that they do that?
I love that. I love that.
And it's totally led by her daughters. I mean, it's crazy.
You know, I'll let you finish.
But I was going to say, I was thinking like, what if we had like material for like girls clubs?
Yeah.
You know, like kind of how you do your magazine and devotionals, kind of bridge those together.
Yep. We have, are you volunteering some services or something?
No, I'm volunteering you. I'm telling you. Maybe you should talk to your publisher about this. Like, I don't know if there's a big need for that though. Like how many girls clubs are there in the world that would actually use that?
Well, I think that there are, you know what? I think that there are lots. There are a couple of girls clubs. Like there's the American Heritage Girls and they're kind of like the Girl Scouts Christian version. Okay. They've been around a long time. And then just lots of churches. I think it's mostly what you're talking about. Just either churches or girls that have just decided, let's get together and do something.
Yeah,
so
just in their neighborhood and have friends over.
So I've thought about it. I lead a little girls club at like an after school program here in Dallas. And, you know, we've talked about that because again, you know, I'm all about using what's already happening. So as I'm teaching those lessons to the girls, a lot of times I am kind of writing that down and thinking, you know what, maybe later on we'll put this into some format that'll be helpful to a group setting. So we'll see.
Looky there. When you bring that idea to the table, make sure you mention me.
I will. Soon as you have that fifth baby.
Yes. Oh, gracious. Okay. So you're working on a new devotional. Okay. That's really great.
Yeah.
I love that. Did you always want to write books?
It's one of those things. I remember being little and saying like, you know, one day I'm going to write a book. But that, you know, I was little and I just, for a long time, I thought that that was kind of a lost dream. It just kind of went away because I was having kids and it just didn't look like life was going to go into anywhere that would be worth writing about. But so it's just funny how God ended up using that, you know, even thinking I'd write a book one day. I had never thought like, I'm going to write a book for girls one day. Right. I'm going to write kids one day. But that's kind of where my life was. And he still granted me that desire. And it was like, oh, cool. This is good.
And you come from like, your family is a family that's like doing stuff. You know, like you're surrounded by people that are doing stuff as well.
Which is good and not bad, but it's good. It presents its challenges.
Just like anything else, but it also is like good encouragement as well. You know what I mean?
For sure. It's a, I feel very blessed because anything from, you know, my cousin and I, or we, you know, we'll get together and just have writing days. We'll just sit somewhere together and just write. And that's a blessing that we actually have two cousins that we do that. And it's just kind of neat. Like, wow. Like,
who are your cousins that write? Business.
Crystal Hurst and Priscilla Shire.
Okay. Yeah. And your uncle is Dr. Tony Evans?
Yes.
And your cousin?
He doesn't want to sit and write with us. And I don't understand why
That's so rude. I don't understand either. Yeah, that's great. Because then it's just great to have people to like bounce stuff off, you know?
Yep. And we're already doing life together. So it does just make it like we didn't have to try to build this. You know, we're just already like, hey, you want to bring the kids over and we sit and have coffee and talk about what the next idea is?
It's great. It's so good. Okay. So I have this new little thing on the show where I ask everyone three things they're loving.
Okay.
What are you loving these days?
I am loving my crock pot.
Your crock pot.
Yes.
Okay. When you mentioned earlier about, you know, trying to thaw out the chicken and everything, I was going to ask you if you do crock pot meals.
Yeah. It's one of those things though, that I go through seasons where I forget that it's there. And then, you know, and then I pull it out and I'm like, I can't believe I've been trying to do life without this.
Like, oh my gosh. Like my husband doesn't understand my need for the crock pot because he's like a chef, you know, I mean, it's wonderful, but when I have to cook, it is so stressful. That the crock pot is my best friend.
Yeah, the crock pot. It is fabulous. And it comes out. I mean, you know, like the meals are good.
Yeah.
It looks like I really was doing something.
I'm going to hook you up and everybody else up because 2 weekends ago, Aaron and I went out of town. And so there was someone staying here with our kids. And so I pre-made all of these meals to freeze that she could put in the crock pot.
So want to do that.
So, and I just bought some chicken this weekend and made like two different meals just to put in the freezer so that whenever it's my time to cook, it doesn't stress me out.
But how did you just take like a Saturday morning and just,
These are really, really, really easy. And these are not cooked. So you basically just have like chicken in freezer bags and then you put all the ingredients in there, freeze it.
I need to see those recipes.
I know. And then I thaw them out overnight and put them in the crock pot in the morning.
Okay, I'm so serious. I need to see what these exact, like, I'll not just tell me chicken and ingredients. I want to know exactly what.
I will send them to you and I will post them on my website, jamieivy.com, when this podcast is aired. But I'll send them to you as soon as we get off the phone.
Because I am. I'm always online. You know, and there are a couple of good websites for crock pot recipes, but I am always. But to have it already prepared would make life so much.
Yes. And I get a little, like, I want to be the person that does the whole once a month cooking thing, you know, where you spend like 15 hours, you create all these meals. I mean, that would really last our family like three meals because I just don't have to cook that much. Aaron does it. But it seems so overwhelming.
Yeah, I agree.
That I just can't even do it.
You know, I've been praying. Like, God, when are you going to give me the desire to cook?
Well, I just gave you a crock pot recipe. So that may be an answer to prayer right there. So there you go. Okay, your crock pot. What else are you loving?
Oh, I am also loving, it's a new book that I just finished, and you'll probably like this. It's called Flash.
Okay.
And it is by Rachel Ridge, and it's about her donkey.
Oh, does it have a big donkey on the front?
Yes.
I've seen this everywhere lately.
Okay, you should totally, totally read it.
What's it about?
It is about, the little tag is the homeless donkey who taught me about life.
It's about a donkey?
It is really, and she's from... not Dallas, but close by. And I've actually met the donkey before he was a star. And it's literally about this donkey that shows up on her like property and how taking this like strange donkey in and deciding to make it a part of her family, like all these things that God has just taught her.
Okay. This sounds crazy.
Yeah, it really is. But I'm telling you, like, I have, okay, this is another truth about me. I don't finish a lot of books. I start a lot of books. I have totally finished
this. Says the writer.
don't tell anybody. But I have complete, I mean, I finished this book because it's, I laughed, I like cried, I highlighted things, I read parts out loud to my husband. I mean, it is a great, great book.
It's okay. Great. And what's her name?
Rachel Ridge.
Okay. I'll put a link to it as well if you're listening. Yeah. Rachel Ridge, Flash.
Flash. Yes, it is. And it literally, I mean, each chapter is, the book is about Flash. I mean, it really is. But then, you know, all these things that she learned in life.
And I love how you're like, and I've met Flash.
Yeah, I've met Flash. Now I need to like go back and take a picture with
you
him.
You do. Oh my gosh, that's fun.
So that's my second thing. I mean, that's okay, a good.
What's your third thing that you're loving?
My third thing, and I actually wore these the entire time I was in Uganda, and they're still my favorite, the no-show socks from Target.
I asked you about those when we were there. Do you remember that?
I do. That's what made, I was just, and I mean, they're still, because they're not just like the regular, and if you don't know the no-show socks, they're like the little, you know, the socks that don't show.
Yeah, but they almost look like ballet shoes because they don't cover your whole feet, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, but Target has a good variety of lots of like cute ones. So they're nobody sees them because they're no-show, but they're very, very cute and fun to wear. So those are my like, they're great with, you know, because I'm a Toms or slide-on type girl. And those
so
are like,
your Toms probably don't stink then?
No.
Because you wear the no-shows.
Yeah. The new Toms. Because before, the old Toms, they still stink.
Yeah.
Because that's before I knew about the no-shows.
The no-shows.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing you wearing those every day. And they were so cute. I mean, you couldn't see them on. But then when you take your shoes off, I could see them.
Yeah. So, they're my favorites. Love them.
I thought of you the other day because I saw some socks like that at another store. And made me think about you. That's funny that that would have been one of the things you said. That's awesome.
That's so funny. You see socks and you think about
and
me.
And I think of winter. Oh,
perfect.
That's so wonderful. Are y'all doing anything fun this summer?
Movie premieres? You know what? I was going to say, there are three movie premieres.
Is there one in Austin?
No, but there's one in Dallas.
When is it in Dallas? Because I'm coming to Dallas this summer.
Are you? It's about, I think it's August 20th. Like, seriously, if you are going to be around then, let me know. Because they're 20th. Like, it's red carpet. You know, they're going to, it's like a real movie premiere. So,
That is so fun.
Yeah. So we're doing that. And then really we're just, cause last summer we had great summers, but we weren't together a lot. So we're just, you know, hanging out together, me and the kids and, and then I'm writing that book. So.
And you're writing the book. I'm in Dallas the weekend before. Can you believe that?
Are you serious?
Oh. I'm actually in Dallas twice, the first weekend of August and the third weekend of August for two different things.
Wow. Man.
And yours is the next week. It's so fun. Yeah. Where are your other movie premieres that you're going to?
There's one in Charlotte and there's one in Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. And then like, I'll talk to you again and you'll be trying out for another movie.
You mean I'll be taking her to
you'll
try
be taking her to try out. Now you're not going to become like the moms that we see on TV, are you?
No, absolutely not.
You know, like those shows like Dance Mom and.
Yeah. No, that's no.
Because all your people around you will let you know, right?
Yeah, they'll let me know. And I feel like from what I saw in the movie set, I feel like they will let me know.
Oh, yeah.
You need to, excuse me, ma'am.
This might not be the same environment that we're seeing some of those other movies. If you know what I mean, like a different. Yeah.
I would. And guess. And I want her to enjoy it. Like the moment she's not. Just doing it out of her own, you know, want to do it, then we don't really need to be doing it. Yeah. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Okay. Well, Winter, I'm going to put up a link. Oh, you want to give away some books too?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay.
I'll give away, I don't know. What am I giving away?
What'd you say? You told me earlier.
I can give away devotional.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I'll put it up on.
Should I give away a magazine subscription too? I could do both.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
How about a book and a magazine subscription?
Perfect.
Okay. And I'll put up on my blog, jamieivy.com, how to do that. And then we'll pick a winner. And it's so fun for women to have for their daughters as well.
I hope so. I mean, that's the goal, really. Like, I just, you know, want it to be a blessing.
And it is. It is. Winter, I am so glad I got to know you in Uganda.
Yeah, I feel the same.
It was such a fun trip.
So many memories.
So many memories. just going to a new place for the first time for a lot of us. And so that was fun. It's fun when it's your first, you know.
Definitely. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, I'll put all the links up to everything we talked about on my website and everyone can find you there. Winter, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Jamie. It was so nice to catch up.
I know. Okay. Well, have a good rest of your day. Enjoy your last few minutes before your girls get home.
Countdown begins.
I know. Countdown begins. All right. Usually when I go make another cup of coffee, I'm like, okay, one more cup of coffee for the day.
I got to go pull that chicken out.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I'm going to send you the crock pot recipes and your life will change. So there you go.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
The Happy Hour is produced and hosted by myself, Jamie Ivey, with assistance from Nikki Ogden and Ashley Caldwell. And the show is edited by Jason Tatley.